Welcome to the Fly Culture Podcast, bringing you interviews, reviews, and fishing tips. Here's your host, Pete Tigus.
Welcome back, everyone, to a very special Fly Culture Podcast. I thought it'd be really interesting to head outside. I'm doing some socially distance fishing with my friend Gerald. We've travelled down separately and we're keeping a good distance apart. But I thought it might be fun to take you on a day's fishing with us. This one as well is in mind for my friend Brian, who's not very well at the moment and he's not able to really get outside. So, Brian, I know you'll be listening and this one's for you and I hope it'll take you to another place and somewhere that you'll enjoy. But the river I'm on today, we're not going to name where we actually are. It's a short drive away from where we both live, but we're not going to name it. It's a really beautiful little stream though. We've walked through probably a couple of miles downstream. It's through a woodland. It really reminds me of a Tolkien type book or the films, if you've seen those as well. And it's not public water, so we're not going to see anyone. We're obviously after grayling today. There's been some rain overnight, but the river's in really good shape. It's pretty clear at the moment. We've just got to where we're going to start setting up our kit, and Gerald's pointed out a couple of reds as well. So there's fish cutting reds. So obviously we're going to be very, very careful about where we're stepping, but it's been fascinating to see that as well. It's a really, truly beautiful spot. We're nowhere near a road. It just feels like you're in a really wonderful hidden away place at the moment. So I'm really excited to throw some flies in the river and see how we get on. We're going to try and talk you through some of the pools when we're fishing them and give you a sense of where we are and what we're actually doing. But Gerald, it's great to have you here today and I'm really looking forward to fishing the river. Tell us a little bit about what this little stream means to you, how much you like it and how we're going to set up today as well from a height and visibility perspective. You're of course a full-time fishing guide, so it's great to be able to pick your brains about what's going on here, and I know you know this little stream intimately, but perhaps you can give us a little idea of how we're going to approach things today. It's great to have you here though, Gerald.
Oh, hi Pete. Yeah, it's lovely to have your company. It's a special little stream for me. It's my home water, and like most people, we always have a home water and we use it as our measuring stick. It's quite clear that most of the leaves are gone now. After, you know, in the last sort of month of trying to get out grayling fishing, we've been sort of plagued by leaves, but today's looking a really sweet day. So we're going to put some sort of 3.8 mil beads on and just fish up through the pools, tight line nymphing, and see how we get on.
Fantastic. And for this is a relatively small stream, so you think a couple of nymphs will probably be enough?
Yeah, I think so. I'd rather stick to two nymphs. You know, if you're getting juvenile fish as well that flip around, you end up getting so many tangles with three flies, and there's lots of overhead branches and there's a few bow and arrow casting places. So yeah, you know, if we need to go up, we'll just put a 4.5 mil bead on the point and a lighter one on the dropper and see how we get on.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to fishing this first pool. You very, very kindly tied me up some of your special flies as well. So I'm going to do my utmost not to throw in any trees and be really, really careful about that. But I'm hoping they're going to do the biz for me as well. Really, really excited to get going. So I'm in the very first pool. Let's describe it a little bit for you. It's probably about 25 foot wide. If I look upstream on my right side, so that would be the true left bank as you actually look downstream, I hope that's not too confusing, the flow goes down that left side opposite me, the left true left bank there. The main flow is there, it hugs the bank really, really tightly. And what I think I'm looking to do is, because the water's been a little bit high, I'm probably going to look for those softer areas on the seam of the main flow. I probably will give the main flow a little bit of attention as well and see if we can find a fish that way. But I think that's probably where they're going to be. I'm wary of trees. There's loads of trees. I'm fishing pretty heavy flies. I've got a 3.8, as Gerald suggested, 3.8 mil bug on the point. And then I've got about a 2.5, 3 mil on the dropper as well. And I've got to be careful of those branches as well, because they do come down really low. They're real fly magnets. So I'm going to see if I can work this softer seam. I'm sort of holding the recorder while I'm doing it, so heaven knows what's going to happen if we hook a fish. But we're going to give it a try. Now, my first flip was in some soft water on the seam, and it was almost like a touch bottom pretty quickly there. At the end of the drift, I'm just sort of lifting my flies up slowly. I don't tend to always strike. I like to do it a little bit more slowly and see if I can induce a fish that way. I've not been fishing for a bit, so I'm a little bit rusty at the moment. So I'm not throwing a great long line until I feel I'm properly in that fishing zone and I'm actually going to find some fish that way. But it's tracking down the pool really, really nicely. Gerald's gone downstream. I can't see him now. I saw him bow and arrowing in a spot a few seconds ago, but we're maintaining that safe distance between the two of us. But this is a beautiful, beautiful little pool. And again, I'm just feeling those little ticks as the flies are hitting the bottom, so they're getting into the right zone. And I'm watching, I'm primed and ready just in case anyone's at home. So I moved up the pool a little bit. Gerald's with me. We're still obviously a safe distance apart. And what we've got is a flow that's hitting a tree right on our side of the bank as well. So it's sort of pushing that flow middle to the further side there. And we're just working those nymphs through that water at the moment. It looks the right sort of water. Gerald is working that really, really well. I think he had a fish just come off, but I think it was a trout, which thankfully didn't stick. So obviously we're not after those today, and we don't look to target those. So we'll keep working. But still plenty of midge on the water, aren't there, Gerald?
Yeah, there's a few little midge coming off. I did see a little stonefly down there. But yeah, I think maybe when we get up to some of those smoother pools there and the deeper holes, we might do some good.
So we stepped into another pool. This is a real beauty. I didn't describe one previous pool that I'd been fishing, and I almost ran to it. It was just a short little spot with a really lovely seam on it, and I sort of went screaming up to try and fish it. I had something on very briefly that I don't think was a grayling, so thankfully that has come off. But we're in a new pool now. How would you describe this one, Gerald?
Yeah, it's lovely. It's I suppose it's more of a sort of glide riffle section with a few deep pots in it. The faster flow is on the opposite side, but even sort of in this side, a good 6 feet out, it's still moving nicely. So you've got huge amount of water to fish up through here, and we've got probably 4.5 foot of water at the deepest through here. So yeah, really nice to fish.
One of those dream moments, really, where Gerald said, "Come on, let's walk up stream a little bit." We were going to start recording something, walking a little bit further. We're having one of these sort of deep talks about life and fishing and what it means to you, which we might try and record a little bit later. But the pool is fabulous. Again, it's running down the far side, but it's a relatively long pool. And there's just this beautiful flat water on the seam of the run there. We've got in at the tail. I've probably made half a dozen casts, and very, very fortunately I've been lucky enough to catch a fish. It's been a dream to have somebody like Gerald knowing this water so well, even netted the fish for me as well, so he's never off duty even when we're fishing as friends. But Gerald, what do you give me for that grayling? 3/4 of a pound, something like that, if I'm lucky?
I thought so, Pete. 3/4 of a pound. Absolute stunner. Male cockfish, beautiful colours. We're slipping back there now. But yeah, it's one of my favourite little bits here. And I suppose from knowing the river intimately, you just know where the fish are going to be in there. And it's lovely. There's a real nice deep green colour V at the back of the pool where it drops off. And you sort of know when your nymphs go down where you're going to catch. And it's just that sort of almost a stomach lurch. Yeah, it's just fantastic. And, you know, even that 3/4 of a pound fish, I had to chase it down with the net because, you know, the water's so powerful. So yeah, there's plenty of these little places on this river, so hopefully we'll catch a few more.
That was, and you know, putting me in the spot was a big part of it. But also when you set on those fish, and we were talking about it earlier, that, you know, I was like a cold spring, not because, I guess, of nerves, but just excitement. And it feels every little spot that we've been fishing, I felt that we've been in with a chance of catching a grayling. And lo and behold, the magic's happened. Gerald's going to take over the helm now and have a go. But we've not been fishing long. We don't get huge numbers of grayling in our streams down here, but that's a wonderful start, and I'm absolutely thrilled. And yeah, it's everything I hoped. It's one of those ones I'm old enough to know better, that I still don't sleep very well the night before fishing, and I've fished with Gerald so many times before, but still I get excited about it. And, you know, like I say, he's put me in this wonderful pool, and I hope I'll be netting a fish for him very, very shortly too. I don't know if you're the same, if when you fish with friends, that you just, fishing is sort of the background to everything, but when you're talking, you talk about many things. And it is, you know, we've talked about on previous podcasts the mental health issues of being out, being able to talk with friends, and we're just chatting about anything, with fishing as obviously the thing that we come back to, and how we're fishing a pool. But that's the amazing thing about this, that it is fishing, but wow, there's so much more as well. And we're just chatting about everything and nothing, and then we come back to the fishing, and it's funny how that happens. But we've just, Gerald's fished up through the pool where I was lucky enough to catch fish, and we've stepped into another one, similar sort of pool, a little bit shorter. It starts on the true, it sort of bounces off the right, true right bank, and then comes mid-river, and then drifts across to the true left side. And again, we've got an inside line that looks absolutely fantastic. So Gerald's still on duty, so he's going to have a go and fish through there, and hopefully we might get lucky with another grayling or two. It's funny, we're just chatting away now, and I tell you what, that's good timing. No, I thought Gerald had a fish for a second then, but it wasn't one. You were just telling me a story about this pool, and we're halfway up it now, and you know, how the spates that we've had recently on the river, how the river's cleaned the bottom, as it were, and moves things around a little bit. But you were talking about something up near the head of the pool. What were you saying about that?
Oh, there used to be, as you can see up there, there's like a little tiny sort of island there, and there was a big tree that fell down years ago. It's gone now, but it had probably been down probably 20 years, and I've got a really nice picture. And it's the river sort of changes, but because I know this river so well and I've done so much work on it, I know all the little bits and pieces which come and go on it. And it was in the summer, we had quite a wet summer, and the river was similar height to it is now, but it was this beautiful green colour. And I had an old loop green line and an old original loop. I think it was called a might have been a midge one. No, a nymph it was. And the picture was absolutely stunning. It was just one of those ones where the light is in your favour. You don't sort of spend much time with the photo, but when the light's like that, and I haven't seen it for years, but I'm going to dig it out tonight and have a look.
It's funny you mentioned those rods, and that's when I guess we'd known about each other for quite some time, but I was in the local tackle store in Crediton, and I was asking the owner, Howard, about loop rods, and he told me about this guy, Gerald, who likes fishing them and catching loads of salmon on them and stuff. And it's funny you mentioned that, because that's when I was first sort of aware of you being fishing the sort of similar sort of streams and loving fishing like I do.
Yeah, for sure. You know, life goes past so blooming quickly, and you see a date on a photo and you're like, oh yeah, you know, it's a couple of years ago, and it's 2013, 7 years ago. And sometimes, you know, like a lot of people with fishing, you know, the tackles, there's a big interest in trying different tackle and different rods, and you sell a rod to buy another rod, and then 10 years later you think, I wish I hadn't sold that one and kept it. It's I had some great memories using that loop green line that I was talking about, and I sold it to a local guy. And he was staying, well, see, locally, he was, I think Dartmoor he was from, but he was fishing at the Arundel Arms, and I left the rod at the Arundel Arms for him, and he sent me this lovely email saying what a brilliant day he had had and how much he loved the reel, and it sort of, it made it better, me selling that, and I sort of imagine him still using it. So, like, I'm sure, you know, a lot of my friends have had most of the Sage lineup, and, you know, I regret when I did my AAPGI exam, I had a Sage SP, and I sold it, and I always think that's probably one of the worst things I'd ever done. I wish I still had that rod.
I've still got some.
Yeah, you've still got some original Sage LLs, and yeah.
It's fun though, but that's again comes back to what we, you know, we're just chatting about stuff, and I'm sure you're just like us when you get the chance to fish with a friend, that you reminisce and you talk about stuff and everything and nothing, and that's part of what makes a day so special, I think. We're in a pretty small pool. I've managed to fish this one before. I've been lucky enough to fish it. It's probably, how deep is it, Gerald? 18, 20 inches, something like that. And three or four casts in, the indicator goes boom. Gerald's pheasant tail has come up with the magic. And an absolutely stunning, looks like a female, is it, grayling in the net now. What would you give me for that one?
Got to be a pound, isn't it? Pound and a bit, maybe.
Yeah. Really stunning, hard fighting, beautiful coloured fish. Tried to get under, there's a root jam at the bottom, tried its best to sort of try and get there, but managed to get it in the net. And a really pretty, pretty pool. You'd look at it, and I was, as Gerald said, I've just got to change my flies. So I sort of looked at it and thought, oh, yes, please. And thankfully, it's come up with the goods, and absolutely stunning grayling that we're going to pop back now. So I've just fished through this pool. It's a pretty small one, but looking down back at it now, the flow comes from my bank on the true right and again hits the far side, but it forms a really soft big seam. It's not a wide pool by any means, probably 15 feet. I had the grayling. I've been lucky enough to have a couple more. The first one came to the point fly, the pheasant tail that Gerald tied. And then the next two, I was lucky enough to catch a couple more, came to the Duracell that Philippa tied. So thank you, Philippa, for those. They were fabulous and it's working. It's funny, it reminds me of a story. My dad, when he was alive, used to love playing cards. And if he had three queens, if he was playing, he'd call them Hessie, Bessie and Jessie. And I do that with grayling. So I'm really pleased that I've come out of that pool and I've caught Hessie, Bessie and Jessie. I thought I'd change my rig a little bit. Where I've been Euro nymphing or tight line nymphing, I've changed things up a little bit. One of the things I love doing is casting the fly line as well. And part of this is inspired by conversations I've had with Andy Buckley, who's done a great, interesting video about using a indicator for the fishing that he does on the Derbyshire Wye. And that's because he can't wade in the river. Mine comes about more, as I said, that I just enjoy casting a fly line, and my good friend Perry and I have been backwards and forwardsing ideas for fishing an indicator just for fun more than anything else. And my little setup now, so I've got a standard, the rod I've got's a 9.5 foot rod. I've got a normal floating line on there, a 4-weight floating line, and then I've got probably 3 feet of 5 pound mono, and I've got a Rio Kahuna strike indicator. And this, I got the idea from Andy's setup, is I've just got float stops from Course Fishing to hold that in place. And over that, what that allows me to do is adjust how deep or how shallow that I'm actually fishing. And then all I've done is snip off my tippet from my Euro nymph, kept the flies exactly the same. So I've got a pheasant tail on the point. I've got the Duracell on the dropper. And I'm going to have some fun with this. I've not tried it, so it's my first field test of it, just to see. And as I said, this is purely a bit of fun more than anything else. The river's been fantastic for me, and I'm just like playing around, tinkering with things. And as I said, over the conversations I've had with friends recently and more people looking at other fun ways to fish during the winter, and it's incredibly mild at the moment as well. So, and we're starting to pick fish up on the dropper as well, which makes me wonder perhaps that lighter dropper, if there might be a chance to sort of fish slightly more conventionally. So it's going to be really interesting to see if this rig works or not. And I'm really excited to try it. So that's the prototype test of the rig I was just describing. I should probably rewind a little bit and let, I guess you may not know what a Rio Kahuna indicator is. Basically, it's a section of fly line without a core. And the idea is that you thread your tippet through that where the core should be on the fly line. And then that makes up an indicator. Interestingly, I think probably I've been fishing it. I've chosen probably the worst place to actually test this because getting a cast, it's incredibly overgrown here. The trees have really come out across the river, so there's not much room. So I found that I was high sticking. I actually caught a grayling of about half a pound, just high sticking using that indicator. The first thing I've noticed so far is that fishing 3.8 and let's say 2.5, 3 mil is too heavy, and the section of the indicator I've got is probably about an inch and a bit, and that's sort of pulling it under. So what I've done is added in the meantime, because I need that heavier fly, I think I put a stick-on indicator further back, and then I'm going to try when there's a bit more room to cast and perhaps where there's a little bit more shallower water. I would think probably 2, 2.5s or a 3 mil and a 2 mil would probably be fine, but my initial findings are probably that it's just a little bit heavy, but high sticking it works really well, and I managed to catch a small grayling, so it was pretty cool. Gerald's just re-rigging now, but I thought it's been really interesting walking up the river, and he's told me where his coppiced place is, and you know, it's about as natural as it can be, yet for the benefit of everything around here, including, of course, the fish. But it's really interesting what you've done, Gerald, and it's very, very sympathetic and really looks unimpeded, yet has been worked. So, you know, is working really well. So what's the story behind this, and what was your thinking behind it?
Well, I can... You know, I'm allowed to fish this occasionally, and I wanted to repay the owner. They didn't want money, and I came to an agreement that I would sort of make it a little bit better for the fishing access, and I would improve some of the banks for revetment and tried to improve the habitat for fish. We've hinged some of the smaller willows and a bit of the hazel in there, so there's juvenile fish habitat, and tried to make it so you can't see it's been hacked around, and it's still a bit challenging in places. We've let a little bit more light in on some of the real tunneled places, on some of the riffles as well. There's a drink, as you can see, there's a drinker at the other side, so the cattle can't get in the river anymore. This side here, we're really lucky because it's been left. It's just a field that's been left for the last 20 years, and it's turned into a proper wetland there. You know, when we're walking through on that path, it's up to your sort of knees nearly. Tried to do as much as possible to improve the habitat, but as little as possible to make it sort of look natural and nice fishing habitat as well for us.
So we're just fishing the very last pool now before we snip off our flies and go home. It's been one of those really wonderful days that there's been some fish. There's just been nice talking about life in general. The fish have been a really happy byproduct of it, but it's been really enjoyable. My little rig needs some tweaking, I think. It's a little bit enclosed for what I wanted it for making longer casts. It's just a little bit enclosed to fish it at the moment. I caught some more fish, which has been cool. But I still think it needs a little bit more work on it. This, as many of the pools we've had today have been absolutely stunning. I'm just watching Gerald fish it now. I'm sort of standing back from him a little bit as he works his nymphs through the run at the moment. It's just one of those days that you're pleased that you can go fishing and pleased that we do this. I think it's just good we do this, really. Well, we've just snipped off our flies and we're just sort of reflecting on the day, really. And it's been one of those really, really nice ones. I think it's fair to say river's been pretty kind to us, really, hasn't it, Gerald?
Yeah, it's been great, Pete. It's been absolutely magical. You know, we've got a nice bit of clear water. There's hardly a breath of wind in the temperatures must be sort of 12, 13 degrees. It's been really nice. Yeah, fantastic day.
Thanks so much for having me down. I mentioned at the beginning you're a full-time fishing guide. If people want to come out and spend time with you on the water, do you have a website address and social media addresses that people can get hold of you?
Yeah, if you look on Instagram or Facebook, it's the Devon School of Fly Fishing. We've got a website with all the contact details on. If you're after a bespoke day or something like that, just have a look at my mobile number on there, give me a buzz and we can talk it through.
Perfect. And thank you. You've been absolutely fantastic and been very, very generous. I think I got to fish the nicest pools. So thank you for that. Thank you for everyone for listening in to this special Fly Culture podcast. It's been really good fun to do. And I'm really interested and excited to hear if you've enjoyed it. If you have, let me know. If you haven't, let me know. I hope when restrictions lift a little bit more, it may be something we do a little bit more of as well and head some other streams and go fish and talk about the world. But thanks so much for listening. And Brian, I know you're listening. This one's for you. Thank you, everyone.
The Fly Culture podcast is brought to you in association with Fly Culture, a quarterly print magazine. For more information, please visit flyculturemag.com. You can also find Fly Culture on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.